tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, beloved, this evening I would invite us first to open our Bible to Psalm 55. The Word of God to Psalm 55. In a moment then, secondly, to the back of the Psalter Hymnal, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 4, which questions and answers of that we'll read together responsively in a moment. Lord's Day 4. We will notice that to be the last Lord's Day dealing with this first section, the first part of the Heidelberg Catechism, sin and misery, and not leaving us wanting in terms of a careful and full explanation of sin and misery, as we'll especially see. But first then to the psalm. Now this is a psalm of David. It is one in which he is contemplating, broadly speaking, the seriousness of sins seen and wretched lives lived around him, not only though generally, but he mentions particularly one, and this one is not named, who was close to David's heart, who was with him at least for a while in terms of the things of the Lord and the pursuits of the things of the Lord, which then after his companion turned away from the Lord, and David is not shy about his appeal in regards to these matters, as we are going to see this evening. And so, beloved, at Psalm 55, and we'll pay particular attention to the last verse, as we'll see as we go along. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was within me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, because they do not change. Therefore, they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. As far, dear congregation, the reading of God's Word, as always, please keep the Bible near you. But let's turn now, secondly, to the summary of the teaching of the Word of God as we have it this evening in Lord's Day 4 of the Heidelberg Catechism. As noted, the last Lord's Day of this first section dealing with sin and misery, and questions needing an answer. And so tonight, beloved, first, at question 9, does not God then wrong man by requiring of him in his law that which he cannot perform? Not at all, for man capable of performing it, but man through the instigation of the devil, by his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of these gifts. Will God suffer such disobedience and apostasy to go unpunished? By no means. He is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them by a just judgment, temporally and eternally, as he has declared, "Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." Is then God not also merciful? God is indeed merciful, but he is also just. Therefore, his justice requires that sin, which is committed against the most high majesty of God, be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. These things, dearly beloved, the Word of God does teach, and therefore we do believe. Once again, let's come and ask his help as we continue this evening. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we have an interest in, and a desire to take up to ourselves, to study and learn, then also to make an affirmation and profession about all the Scripture teaches, that you have given to us an interest and a desire and delight in all of your Word, even the hard things. And our Father, it seems that sometimes we have spent a lot of time on the hard things. But we praise you that in looking at all of Scripture, the Christian is well suited to be able to answer the hard questions. First, the ones that our own heart will ask, and then to be able to address our friends and neighbors. And so tonight, O Lord, we thank you that you ground your church in the truth, the church that is the pillar and ground of the truth. Help us, O Lord, in these things this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that last verse of Psalm 55, "But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction," causes us this evening, as its truth is applied in Lord's Day 4 of the Catechism, causes us tonight to crawl, as it were, to the edge of the opening of the abyss and lean over to look in. As we begin to lean over the rim of that pit, the stench of it races out of the pit like a foul wind. The stench of hell causing us to nearly vomit. We have to do tonight what none of us really wants to do. Children, we would all rather stand up, turn around, and walk away from the edge of the pit of destruction and go back to pretending like hell is not all that real. But Scripture and Catechism, both clearly tell us that in the pit of destruction, what is going on right now and for all of eternity is extreme, everlasting punishment of body and soul. All who are not in Christ will, by God, be cast into the pit of destruction. All who are not in Christ will, by God, be cast into the pit of destruction. Now notice this, beloved. As they are cast into that pit, the ungodly will vehemently argue three things. First, they will argue, hold on, this is not fair. Secondly, as they are cast into that pit, the ungodly will vehemently argue, shouldn't a divine being be above anger? And thirdly, as they are cast into that pit, the ungodly will vehemently argue with all that is within them, stop. The God of mercy has to let me go free, right? Beloved, all who are not in Christ will by God be cast into the pit of destruction. As they are cast into that pit, the ungodly will vehemently argue, hold on, this is not fair. The argument really is from the psalmist. However, as we alluded to, he is not only arguing a sense of the unfairness of the matter, and he is not at all arguing about the unfairness of hell. He is rather arguing and moaning that it is unfair that the wicked and the violent be allowed to walk free. The psalmist wants them punished now. In our postmodern day, where there is no place for truth, where any behavior is, we are told, just as acceptable as any other behavior, we have lost a sense of desiring justice, much less vengeance. We often think, and we often quote, a particular verse when it comes to vengeance. As I begin to quote it, you're going to think it in your minds because you know it so well. When thinking of the evil and wicked deeds that others do in this world, we often go in our minds and we think, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, don't we? But dearly beloved, do we realize that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, Deuteronomy 32:25. And as the Apostle Paul applies that quote from Deuteronomy 32 at Romans 12:19, the Apostle says, give place for wrath. Man, sinful men, wicked people vehemently protest. This is the sum and the substance of question and answer 9 of the Heidelberg Catechism. They say it's not right. It's not fair. They say, God can't take vengeance on me. He expects too much, God does, they say. This is a demonic idea. It is a lie from Satan. The demonic idea, children, that no one ever really displeases God or fails to meet His perfect standard has taken over the world and is rapidly overtaking the church. Our text demolishes that demonic lie in one brief phrase. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. As we bend near to gaze into that pit of destruction, we watch, and listen to what the text says, As we've been near to watch, we see God Almighty, this awesome, just, and righteous God. God Himself, says our text, casts the wicked into the pit. The word here, shall bring them down, is causative. It explains causation. The very same God about whom the psalmist speaks in verse 22, who shall sustain us, who shall never permit the righteous to be moved, is the same God who will throw the ungodly into hell. Children, God judges, and He executes the just sentence, sending the ungodly to eternal punishment. Now this is this evening something, beloved, as I said already, we would much rather back away from. We're inclined at this point to begin to get a little bit critical, even not only perhaps of the text, but of its presentation in the sermon, because we are so uncomfortable with these things. But we need tonight to not crawl backward away from the edge of the pit. Or rather, we must, for just a few moments this evening, stay, as it were, very close to watch what goes on here. To, in a sense, in the right understanding of it, be terrified by what we see, by what we smell, by what we hear going on right now down in that pit of destruction. Notice, if you will, and record, if you can, a few of these texts I'm about to lay out before us. What's going on right now in this pit of destruction as we are on the edge of it, as we are trying not to, but forced rather to peer in and to especially listen? This is what the New Testament tells us is going on. Matthew 8:12, Matthew 22:13. Matthew 24:51, Matthew 25:30, Luke 7:38, and Luke 13:28. Six references so far, and all of them speak of one thing: the weeping and the gnashing of teeth that is going on right now in that furnace of fire, in that pit of destruction. Let me give you, of the many others, only two more. Matthew 13:42 and Matthew 13:50. Such that we are now up to eight references, and we are only so far counting up those which tell us what we hear with our ears as we lean over the top edge of the abyss. What we hear are the sounds of hellish agony, cries and moaning and shrieks, screams of pain, race up out of hell, out of the pit. What is it called here? The pit of destruction. And with that screaming and with those shrieks of agony, we want to shrink back in horror with Revelation 18:15. We also want to, quote, stand at a distance for fear of her torment. Children, tonight for our own safety in Christ, and so that we will never forget that hell is a real place created by God for the eternal punishment of all who reject Jesus Christ, for all of that we will stay very near the edge of this pit. We must know what is happening in hell right now. Right now, God the judge casts them into the lake of burning fire, and they scream as they enter, a screaming which will never, ever stop. As He picks them up to throw them into that pit, the ungodly will vehemently argue, secondly, Shouldn't a divine being be above anger? If I can put it this way, beloved, one lie of postmodernity is behind us. The it's not fair lie is behind us, and behold, two more need to be addressed. As we sit on hands and knees, and you notice we're putting this in the present tense. That's for a reason, as we're going to get to later in the sermon. As we sit on hands and knees at the edge of the abyss, the pit of destruction, with fallen ungodly men's complaint ringing in our ears, how can a divine being get angry? That is, again, the summary and the stress now of question and answer 10 of Lord's Day 4 of the Catechism. Won't God just let it go? Won't He say it's okay? Isn't a divine being supposed to not get angry? Isn't He the great candy-giving grandfather figure who never gets upset? Dearly beloved, perhaps we snicker at that a little bit, or perhaps we think, well, is that really being said by people? Oh, dear Christians, it is being said by people in churches. Sort of like what people say, well, He knows I'm just human, right? Children, He is, as the answer puts it, and Psalm 55:23 portrays it, terribly displeased and will punish. Now the psalmist, as we've been indicating, also is terribly displeased, verse 15, and his petition to Almighty God, let death seize them, is very persistent. Let them go down alive into hell. And in verse 23, this is exactly what God does. Again, as much as we need to say it by way of repetition, God is not passive in this psalm. God is not passive in both judgment and vengeance. You, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. We watch at the edge of that pit as they are cast in, alive and complaining and arguing and fighting and screaming curses. And as they go in alive to be destroyed, we realize that being tossed in alive means they are made unable to die. Now, we're not being overly dramatic here, beloved, because children, the rich man of Luke 16, cried out for the water of a fingertip. Because he said in verse 24 of Luke 16, what did he say? He said, I am tormented in this flame. Do you believe that text? What is this pit we are gathered around this evening? The text, verse 23, tells us in exceedingly plain, again, simple language that it is the pit of destruction. There's a rich benefit to the simplicity here, the plain spokenness of this text. And the benefit comes to people living in the day in which we live, in the world in which we live, when we are bombarded with the worldly, postmodern idea that nothing actually means what it says. So that when we read here these simple, plain, clear words, a pit of destruction, we have a difficulty constructing a reality of a place intended only for vengeance. What goes on in hell is called by theologians retributive justice. Retributive means this was owed to you. And retribution is coming, and retribution is what is going to be realized there. Or as the scripture puts it, hell is the place of unending destruction where, quote, the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The reason we would nearly vomit were we to really lean in and peer into this pit of destruction, children. The reason is because Revelation 14:11, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. Hell, the lake of burning fire, the abyss, outer darkness, is a place, as the Belgic Confession puts it in Article 12, of, quote, horrible torments and unending punishment. It is, verse 23, a pit of destruction from which there is no escape. Its walls cannot be climbed. Its terrifying gravitational pull only crushes down because it is God who crushes down with an eternal force, a place created by God, a place of justice, a place of unending retributive justice. Beloved, to put it in simplest terms, hell is for vengeance. God's vengeance. As we begin to contemplate it, as we will think on moving again toward Good Friday, the great weight of wrath that the Lord Jesus Christ endured on the cross, and we rightly begin to grasp how serious and weighty and inescapable was the heaviness of the wrath of the Lord of God upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, we need to make the proper associations to what is ongoing in hell right now, beloved. For all those not in Christ, the only way to escape it is given to man now in the command to flee the judgment to come by fleeing to Jesus Christ for safety. But thirdly, as they are cast into that pit, the ungodly will vehemently argue, stop. The God of mercy has to let me go free, right? And once again, beloved, as we hug terra firma, that's a way of thinking of our pressing ourselves onto the ground because we're too terrified at what we begin to hear and smell and see leaning over the edge of the pit. We hear the last second pleas of sinners who all their lives rejected Jesus Christ. We hear their last words as they enter that terrifying pit, accusing God that since He is merciful, He has to let them go free. But Jesus, all their lives they rejected Jesus Christ. If any is outside of Jesus Christ at the time they take their last breath, their sins are unremitted, unrecompensed, unforgiven. All such persons remaining in their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, wretched and wicked in their guilt, are being cast alive even tonight as they die, into the pit of destruction. I thought of this in writing this sermon, contemplating the amount of time we will have been seated here this evening since the call to worship. I'm looking at the clock, and my estimate was pretty close. In the time we have been in church since the call to worship, children, about 6,000 people around the world have died. How many of those 6,000 were cast into the pit of destruction while we have been hearing about this horrifying reality? Verse 23 makes it very clear that bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, which simply means that they will come to their end not expecting it. They will still have had plans they had hoped to accomplish, things they knew they were going to get done, places that they knew that they were going to go, dreams that they knew they were going to somehow be able to fulfill, and all of a sudden, in an instant, it was over. And they were falling headlong in our sight over the edge of that pit into the abyss, into the eternal fires of damnation. As the Catechism puts it, into extreme punishment, everlasting punishment of body and soul. Beloved, the Scripture is very clear. God is merciful, but He is also just. Verse 23, I hope we see it by now, that God will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Don't we today in our day clamor for justice as much as we are able to? Didn't we want justice for those girls tormented by that doctor? Most parents, if they were honest, wanted the vengeance that one dad tried to in court to get. And if that's the case, we think of the suffering of millions in concentration camps and all of the other terrors and horrors that we can conceive of in our own minds, in our own limited sight picture of the things that we know about in our study of history. And we say, oh, these things ought to bring vengeance on people. How much more, dearly beloved, in God's estimation, the one who sees everything, He will cast into that pit, children, ungodly, wicked sinners who rejected Christ. And were we able to see and hear and watch what happens there, we would see a place where there is no love, no comfort, and no relief from agonizing, excruciating pain, and not even ever relief by death. I know we're prone to use a phrase. We hear it on TV in the newscasts. We read it in terms, perhaps, of the terrors of wars. We say, oh, that was hell on earth. I wish we wouldn't use that phrase. No matter how bloody the battle or terrifying the reality, there has never been hell on earth. Hell, you see, beloved, is infinitely worse than the most awful thing that could ever be conceived of on earth. What we need to hear most this evening is the last word of the psalmist, isn't it? But I will trust in you. At the edge of the pit, forced to look in, even as we have been for a few moments this evening, to look for a moment at extreme punishment, all that matters tonight is that our hope and trust is in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this evening, humbled and made sober, for our good, for our growth, for our maturing in the faith, that not one of us here this evening would ever be able to say, oh, hell is that place where Satan is the ruler and the best parties happen. What a wicked lie. But rather, Lord, we have been able to hear this evening that hell is that place where Satan and all of his will go to be tormented day and night, where all of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will be by you cast into to suffer for all of eternity, so that we this evening might be those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And what a glorious trust, and what a glorious Savior who saves us out of sin and death and hell. Glory be to Him. Our Father is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's sing again this evening, responding at number 100. We'll stand and sing, Jehovah to my prayer.